I'm interviewing Marion and Jim Fuller and Mrs. Josephine Rutland Frederick. Today's Dime Ball Day, 1984. We're meeting at the Temple Library. My name is Becky Bailey.
Go ahead.
Go ahead now.
And again, mm-hmm. I was born in Diabol and lived here for 38 years, so that's a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. And I remember a lot of things about our childhood, as Josephine will, that we did in Diabol. We went to Sunday school in that lodge building you saw out there, but it was a good Sunday school. We did our own amusements. We didn't buy many things. We did play jacks. That's about all I remember ever buying. But we played paper dolls that we cut out of Sears and Roebuck catalogs. And we had bouncing boards. You know, we could pick up lumber and put something in the middle, and like a seesaw, only you jumped. And we'd jump high, high, high. And we would even swing on the tree limbs in her yard. It was just fun things. We'd slip off to White Oak Creek and go in swimming and play like we were movie stars. I was always Mary Miles Minter. And
where's
White
Oak Creek?
It's out here called Stovall Creek, son.
Oh. It's just a little way out of town.
It's about filled in now.
But that you don't realize it when you pass it, because that used to be way out in the country, you see.
Now it's right here under us. Yeah.
But we weren't deprived at all. I think the town was a good town for a small sawmill town. To me, it was. If I was an underprivileged child, I didn't know it.
So was everyone else.
You remember it as a happy childhood. And I remember one time we were excited, even the company sent oysters out to the people on Christmas, a big can of oysters. That was a treat, you know, back there. Mm. And little things we did enjoy. Josephine and I used to ride around with Chester Willis in the delivery wagon from the Southern Pine Lumber Company store. You know, we would go with him.
Oh, did the commissary deliver?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they delivered.
Wagon. It started out with wagon and horses.
Uh-huh. That's right. Well, I was proud that we weren't culturally deprived either. We used to have Chautauquas and Lyceums to come to town. And we learned our music by listening at Victrola's, you know, writing down the words. But I remember we didn't have any, you know, pop or rock and roll. I remember going to Lufkin. We would go to Lufkin early in the morning on the TSD. That was the thing that took logs in. And they called it, what, take it slow and easy, and it was, you know. It would go way out on the mill pond, and then it would, you know, have to back up and then go on to Lufkin. Then we would catch a later train back to Diabol, H-E-N-W-T, and they call that hell every way you take it. But I remember going up there, and we'd buy records. But we bought Gallicurchy records and Al McGlute records, you know, good things. John McCormick records, you know, and we would learn the words. I went to school here, finished, and I thought it was a good school because I was the third graduating class, you know what I mean, and we worked awfully hard to get credits for Diabol High School. And when I went away in 24, I had my 15 that I could enter college, you know, which was great. Mm-hmm. The ones who graduated before us didn't
have to take exams. Mm-hmm.
Because they were not accredited, you know. Mm-hmm. Had some good teachers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have some of them down that you remember?
Miss Mabel Malier, when we were seniors, I saw her picture here. She was an angel. Mm-hmm. She was an angel. I had one superintendent that I'll ever be grateful for, Mr. E.P. Gaines, because he went to my uncle and told him that he thought that I'd do pretty good in college and to try to see that I got there. You know, I've appreciated that so much in my later days. But then later on, I taught in the school in Diabol until Jim went into service. We moved from here in 45.
Were you married when you came to taught here?
No. Yes. Yes.
Part of the time. Oh, I'd heard that you couldn't be married.
They didn't want you to marry. No, they didn't want you to, but we did.
Oh. But they didn't care.
They hired some married teachers at that time. But they discouraged it very much.
That was true everywhere, but sometimes it uh-huh. had to.
Jobs were scarce. That's
jobs were scarce. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Had one income, you wasn't.
You uh-huh. didn't need two.
That's right.
I see. Yeah, I taught under Mr. C.H. Miller and Mr. E.H. Bush.
Oh, okay. We interviewed Mr. Bush one time.
My name was Wilmoth, W-I-L-M-O-T-H. I noticed my brother's picture back there in that district championship basketball team.
George.
I didn't realize that. It was George Wilmoth?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still living?
He lives in Dallas.
Lives in Dallas. Uh-huh. And I had an uncle when I was growing up who was, his name was W.H. Warner, and he was shipping clerk at the planing mill in Dallas mm-hmm. for a long time.
What did your dad do?
What
did your daddy do?
I didn't have one. We were an odd family.
Oh, okay.
She lived with that uncle.
Oh, you uh-huh. lived with your
He was my mama's twin brother.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. And he was foreman of the planing mill?
They called
shipping
it
clerk.
Shipping clerk. That's
right. Shipping clerk.
We said it was an odd family because my mother's name, she married a Wilmoth, and my her twin brother's name was Warner, see,
mm-hmm.
W.H. Warner. Mm-hmm. And then my aunt lived with her daughter, and they were Walls. So we could put W on the pillowcases okay. and read the case.
No.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Fuller, how about you?
Well, you better look at me, I guess.
My name's Jim Fuller. I was born in Diboll in 1907. I don't know just what year my daddy started preaching, but he worked at the planer in Diboll. And when he started preaching, we moved from here, went to the little town of Gary. Another town I think we went was Geneva. And I moved back here in about 1925 or 1926, and I worked at the commissary for about 15 years. Mr. Rutland was the boss, and I give him credit for being the most patient man. We had a bunch in the store there that thought about nothing but having a good time, and he was tolerant with us. He knew our hearts were right, but and our customers were patient too, because we didn't do anything but cut up. I remember one time we had a fellow here by the name of William Ruth. We called him Shine. But after he made this trip, they called him Reverend Ruth. He went down to, what was that little town down there?
Moscow,
what?
Moscow.
No. But anyway, Reverend
Splendora.
Ruth, Splendora, went off one weekend to have a good time. Went off down Splendora and ran out of money. And so he just decided he would make him an appointment to preach. And so he did. He made the appointment. And the fella, when he got up to preach, he said he's going to preach on Norah and the ox. And he said, the Lord said to Norah, he said, Norah, I want you to build me an ox. And so he did. He got enough money to get back home from that preaching assignment. He was quite a character. We had a lot of fun with him in the commissary. We kept caskets upstairs, and also we had a place up there where we joined the stovepipe. We put brads in it to make them hold, and we'd get Shine and some of the rest of them to go up there with us to hold these pipe while we braded them. But we got the idea that was the same room that the caskets were in. We handled caskets at that time. And one day I got up there, got behind a casket, and they brought Shine up there to help with this, these stovepipe. And I made a little groan and made one of those caskets move a little bit. About that time, Shine decided to time for him to leave, and he started running, and he got out there and where you had to, there was a way you went there, you had to turn, and he couldn't make that turn. And he fell down. Oh, we laughed at him. We had a lot of fun at his expense. Another thing we had, little little wires. People sit on the counter. We had a big wrapping counter there, and people would sit up on this counter, and we wired it one time. We got the idea to put a little electricity in it, and either electricity or a needle that would come up through the counter and stick people. And but when we'd shock them, you know, I remember one lady come in there, and when we shock her, boy, she went and got her a pair of pliers and a screwdriver, and she tore our little play pretty up. And I don't know, we pulled so many pranks. Chester Willis?
I bet they told about Chester Willis, hadn't they?
No. Well, he knows a lot about Chester.
Well.
They were buddies. Okay. They were in business together.
Yeah, Chester Willis was a delivery man there, and he and I had the Red Ball Freight Agency there together. And Chester would do the hauling, and I would do the clerical work. And we got all kind of strange things there that were left over from the Red Ball Freight Agency. You know, like they'd leave a lot of things there that... Chester and I bought hogs together. We'd somebody come in there and want a little money, and we'd buy hogs. And Chester kept our horses too. We had horses to ride, and he had a lot over there where he kept his delivery mule over there. And we had a lot of fun. What would you have in mind?
I'm thinking about his philosophy. Chester was a philosopher.
Chester'd say, if a just because rooster crow, it ain't day. And said,
look through a muddy water.
And you tell a gar from a cat.
He was smart.
If he'd have been a white man, he'd have been a millionaire. He really did know how to, he'd get a crew together to get him to help him, and he could do anything. He could move anything. He was a real operator. I thought a lot of him. In fact, the business came back one time, and he didn't know me. Hurt my feelings.
How long were you on business together?
Oh, they just did that on the side.
Oh, I don't know. We'd about 4 or 5 years. And,
did you rent horses too, or you just?
No, we had some.
But Jeremy forgot to say, he said he courted and.
Oh yes, Chester was the only one that had a horse. A car. We didn't have a car. He just always had a pretty good car. And we'd borrow it from him, you know. And remember one time he came to me, I finally got a car. And he came to me and he told me, he said, Mr. Fuller, said, I've got to, my mama died. And said, I've got to go to Texarkana. And said, I want to use your car. Of course, he got it.
Well, my father brought Chester Willis and his wife down from Cass County, up around near Texas County. And they lived in our backyard for a long time. And, of course, then I think one of the scariest things that ever happened to me, to all of us probably, was when the Ku Klux Klan marched. They would come down the TSC track with this flaming cross. And then they'd go through town, and they'd put maybe crosses in every other yard. And, of course, as a child, that scared us. And Chester, it scared him to death because he was living in our backyard. And I know when he saw him, he ran in his house and got on the bed. And it took us a while to get him out. But he was really a character. And he kept our yard. And Marion and I used to work for him for 10 cents a day. We'd clean the yard, and he'd give us a dime apiece at the end of the day. But we were proud to get that. You could buy more with a dime then. But as I said, lived here. I was born in 1909, and then I went away to school, you know, when I was about 14, and then I married in 33, married in 33 and lived in Jacksonville. And then when Charles came back, I came back here and lived about a year, and then went to Lufkin and taught there for 30 years. But I have wonderful memories down here because we had a wonderful group of friends like Marion and I. I was an only child, but Marion, I can't remember when Marion and I weren't friends. You know, we lived right there together, and we did everything together. We traveled, and Daddy would take us to Houston, and that was a wonderful experience. We'd eat at the Rice Hotel and the Brazos Court. So we had a wonderful life, and now we are still enjoying each other. We take nice trips and every year, or two or three times a year, if we can get enough money together. But as I said, now when I was in school here, it was elementary, and I remember two outstanding teachers, Miss Malier, Mabel Malier, and Mrs. Zell McCall, who was Ward's Burke aunt,
oh, okay.
The lawyer that was there. Yeah. And she used to stay, she lived at Burke, but she would stay with us during the week, mm-hmm. and then go home on Friday, and they'd drive up in this horse and buggy to get her, and I can remember that. And we had, like Marion said, we had good teachers. As I mm-hmm. said in that other article, two of our teachers became professors at University of Texas. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they married each other too, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Oh. And but we did. We had good schools and good, just a good life. And the company was always good to us. Now, the type of person I am, I enjoyed when the company, on Juneteenth, June the 19th, now they really entertained the blacks. They had about a three-day entertainment. They had barbecue. They had a big baseball game, and that was always my favorite, is baseball. And I would go, and it would be just go on, and they'd fight a little and fuss a little, but it was always fun. And then they had on Sunday, they had the church, and they'd bring these different choirs. And I remember the one up from, it's sponsored by the Christian Church, but I can't think, what was that? Can you remember? It's out near Hawkins, Texas, but they had the most beautiful singers, you know, and they would bring all this music in, and then they would dance, and I'd get Chester and Joseph to take me to the dance. Of course, I was just little, but I'd sit on the side and watch them. Mm-hmm. And so, really, I look forward more to Juneteenth than I did July the 4th. But there was never a dull time. We had a wonderful time, and the company, as I said, was very good to us. I remember Mr. Tom Temple, the mm-hmm. founder. When they would come here, I noticed a picture of the Temple party. Well, they ate at the hotel right next door to my house, and then they would come out and sit in our yard, and we'd all visit. And one night he was over there, and I think I was chewing gum. And he told me, he said, Josephine, if you won't chew gum anymore, I'll buy you a new bicycle. So that was the end of my gum chewing. He got me a bicycle. And my children at school that I taught, they always said, Miss Frederick, you are the crankiest thing about gum chewing I ever did know. And I said, well, I learned that a long time ago. And I said, if you don't chew it, you might get a bicycle one of these days. But we just had a wonderful time. And we enjoy coming back. And the only thing, our mind, we can't remember the things we'd like to remember. And names, we certainly can't. But it's just great to be back.
I'd like to tell a little something about the fire department. I was a member of the original fire department. We had made quite a bit of to-do about it. The company furnished us a truck, of course, and we were all volunteers. And we were real proud of our caps. We finally got a cap. And we had one member of the fire department that, the first one there got to drive. And I was working in the store right across the street from where it was kept. And a lot of times I was the first one there. And one fella came in there one time, and he said, I want to go by the house and get my cap.
What kind of alarm system did y'all have?
Whistle.
Mary, you ought to tell them about the time you and Josephine went to Houston and played in the Rice Hotel in the lobby.
No, we told enough about that.
Did you?
I would tell that. Some things we're not going to tell. It wouldn't do the history of Dieball a bit of good.
Well, I want to know some more about the fire department.
What would you like to know about it?
Well, when was it that you started it? And
I really don't remember. I really don't.
It was after I left here in, when did I moved away in 38.
And it was
after 38, because y'all didn't have one when I was here. But it was pretty soon after that.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time they had a fire, a grass fire up here in the Ryan's Chapel community. And they wanted the fire department to come up there, and I couldn't get anybody to go with me. And so I went on up there, and I couldn't even find the fire. And I came back and put the fire truck up. And the very next fire, I was out of town. And we came in just as they were trying to get away, and they'd run out of gasoline. The fire truck was right down there in front of Mr. Durham's house. It run out of gas. Mm-hmm.
Well, but were there telephones and that sort of thing?
No, we didn't have
telephones. We had one in the office and one in the commissary.
Well, how would you even find out about a fire? Somebody just have to...
They just have to come tell you. They'd usually go to the mill, and then they would ring the fire whistle. We knew the sounds, you know. And then, of course, you could tell pretty well. We could see the whole town, practically.
Uh-huh. I'm sure they've always told about the 11:15 cornbread whistle. And
heard something about it. Was it 11:15 or?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. They wanted 5 o'clock in the morning to kind of wake people up for a time. Mm-hmm. And then 11:15 was the cornbread whistle. And then, of course, mm-hmm. they had one at 12 o'clock.
And then one at 5 when they would go home when work day was over. Mm-hmm. 5.
How would you know a fire whistle? I mean, would they have a certain
number? Yeah, it'd go real, real fast. You know, you would know it.
To say some sort of emergency.
Uh-huh, that it wasn't the normal thing, and that's what it was.
As little as you think about it, it didn't take word long to get around.
No, uh-huh.
You see, right here, the radius of the store and the office, that's about all it was.
Uh-huh.
And somebody would
pass the word. Yeah.
I wonder if anybody's ever said anything about Mr. Frank Farrington, who came here and had the first car that was ever brought into the Bible.
Yeah. Not a whole lot.
Well, I think Julia Ashford's going to tell him that, because she was the one who rode in it all the time. They couldn't get it out without Judy going.
First car. Yeah. Too.
First car I ever rode.
Well, all of us. Yeah. It's the first car in the Bible.
Well, Mr. Weeks, the only thing I know about is Mr. Weeks told us that Mr. Farrington took it all apart when he first got it,
did it? Mm-hmm.
So that he'd know how to work on it. Mm-hmm. She said that he laid all the parts out, and then he went right back, put them all back together.
Well, that's bad
and
liking.
He told Mr. Weeks he could watch if he'd keep his hands in his pockets.
So what Weeks was it?
Herbert Weeks.
Herbert Weeks, yeah.
I was in a class with
Herbert, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now he told us some stories. Well, tell me about a ride in the car. Did he take all the kids for rides?
Yeah,
I took everybody, I think. But he knew it was a treat, you know, and they'd never seen one.
Well, we'd kind of stand in line, you know, he'd take a few. He wouldn't take you far, because the roads were so bad you couldn't go too far right then. And I think the first really good road we had was from here out to the chapel. That's the cemetery, you know. And so they did have that, and that was where we'd ride. When I know after my daddy got the car, well, Chester drove our car, and he'd put us in there. But if it was late at night or getting late in the afternoon, he was kind of scared of Hanks, and he wouldn't take you late in the afternoon. But it had to be daylight or he wouldn't go. But that was the best road, so Mr. Farrington would take a few, then he'd bring those back, then a few more he would take.
But even after we got cars, it took hours to get to Lufkin.
Oh, sure.
Because
sure.
of the roads, you know. Yeah. Good
rogues, huh? I was looking at today they had in the parade that old log truck.
Yes.
The old log truck that was in there. When did they start having those as a common thing in the, you know, using in the
Trucks?
In the mill and things.
Well, now, at first, when we were here, they brought the logs from the mules
on the
train. They bring, yeah, and then around here they had.
And then they pull it down into the mill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But they later started trucking.
Trucking after they got roads, but at first they had to use those mules, you know.
What, you think it was in the 40s before they got the log trucks really started, or?
I think
before that. Before that. Uh-huh.
Because the war came on then, was coming on then, you know, 40. Mm-hmm. 41.
Yeah.
Well, you used to have a July 4th celebration here?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just like they furnished us with barbecue, did it, and they come to do the thing.
Turned out all dressed up with umbrellas. And
we had picnics. Ours were more of a picnic thing, but the company did. And boy, you could smell that barbecue for a day or two.
And they usually had political speeches
too. Yeah, that was the political time on 4th of July. But most of it was picnic. We'd make homemade ice cream and fried chicken, and everybody would gather.
Where would you go?
Well,
like on the school ground.
School ground.
Some
Emporia.
And one time we went to Emporia. It was a pond down there, and we had down there. And then I remember Chester and Josie used to take our group on a picnic down to that Stovall Creek or that, you know. So yeah, when they didn't have, when the old folks got tired and wouldn't go, well then they would take us down there on, and make, we'd have things like that. But to me, that Juneteenth celebration was really, it was more, absolutely,
more fun,
yes. And it was, and the company went out to make it fine, and they'd bring in these good baseball teams to play against them, and they had good bands to come in, play for the dances, and as I said, on that Sunday, these singers would come from these colleges, you know, these choirs, and it was just beautiful.
But now, I had a cousin lived with me, older than I was, and they, I've had pictures of them, they would walk down the railroad track to Emporia. That was a Sunday afternoon
affair,
and there's something else I want to tell about.
Well, was there much left of Emporia?
Well, no. It'd be boys and girls, you know, couples, and they were just out. Wasn't anything else to do. Cars.
Yeah, it was just a pretty picnic place,
spot.
And it had a, you could ride a boat, you could fish. We fished there a lot.
But there wasn't anything left.
No,
of
there
land.
Was. Well, there's no town.
But then there used to be a mill.
I think maybe the first one before it was temple or something.
Okay.
But
my mama moved to
Moved
Dibble,
here. Yeah, it was just that was the first. But that wasn't the one we knew about. But when we came along, that was all gone. There was no sign. Just that pond, I guess, was left. But it was a good place to fish, and you could get out in a boat.
Well, we had fun going out to Ron's Chapel. That's where the company pumped their water, wasn't it? You remember we'd swim, and that every now and then that pump would, I think they got the water
pumped. I don't know how they used
Ron's
lake water, but they didn't, they used condensed steam.
We had the purest water you could have.
Condensed steam.
It was condensed steam.
But we had a good time.
So you had distilled water.
Everything.
That.
But they were pumping that Rhine's Lake water in here for something.
Well, if you remember, we had two lines come in.
Well, and it was used at the mill, but we got the steam, and our water came from the steam.
Before your yard, that's how they had some pond water.
Pond water, yeah.
It wasn't pure.
But and then they all, in those days, they furnished our electricity.
Yeah.
You know, the mill made the electricity, and then every Saturday night at 12 o'clock, we knew the lights were going out, because that's when they had to repair, get it fixed for the next week. But boy, you got your candles and your lantern and everything ready for 12 o'clock on Saturday night, because that was it. And then, but it'd come back on Sunday. It'd be all right, but it was just from midnight. Yeah, it just took from midnight till morning to get it. And but we all were ready for the midnight shutdown. But I can remember as a child, two of the things that I could disturb me a little was every so often they closed the mill to, you know, repair and everything. And so I would hear them talking about they're going to close down the mill. Well, I had a vision of them just closing it down, you know, and it worried me to death. And I know when, too, another thing that worried me was during the Depression. Well, since my father worked in the store, and they would just have to, the company was good about handing out and seeing that no one went hungry. But they would try to check up and see who, as they called it, if they owed a lot or anything. They'd say, well, let's check on that because he's in the hole. And that was just, I had visions of him down in a hole, and I'd think, well, why don't they get him out? And it's just those two things I remember as a small child that worried me, when the mill closed down and when somebody was in the hole.
I don't know why there was not an actress in our group, because we got together so often on Sunday afternoon, and if we'd gone to a movie, we'd play it out. Two of us would be girls, you remember, two boys,
so
and all like that. And sometimes we went over in the lumber. You remember we'd go over in the sheds, I guess you'd call them, where the lumber was stacked, and that would be our background.
And we'd come out from behind the lumber.
Play
that
over
was
there
our
all
state.
Sunday afternoon, isn't that all?
What about the first movie? Catching on fire.
Well, my uncle and Mr. Ernest Rutland and Mr. Henderson had the first picture show or movie or whatever.
Mr. Copes and
I'm talking about the first ones I remember, Mary. But I know that the thing about it was in a tin building. And boy, if it rained, That tin hit that tin. Well, I tore out home, and everybody else goes, you couldn't hear the movie or anything else, but it literally scared me to death. And
I'll never forget going to the serials, Voice on the Wire. You know, every week they were continued. Mary Pickford was a big, of course, sweetheart.
Oh, that's a way to get you back every week.
Yeah, that's right. These serials, kind of like the soap operas.
Once a week.
Only they weren't like soap operas, I guarantee you.
Harold's of Pauline, now you know about that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of that.
She was on the railroad track tied once or twice.
Jumped from the building or something.
What's this about a fire in a...
Well...
In a movie?
The equipment would catch fire back there. And
that was way back before this.
Yeah, before the one I was talking about.
And
it was a crude.
Go ahead and tell them about you.
I don't know.
Shut it down, Bassett, don't you know?
Yeah.
That was one fellow, I don't know whether he was the operator or who he was, that was before my day, but
mine
I heard
too.
Him talking about it. And they said that the equipment would catch on fire. You know, those lights get awfully hot back there.
Oh, I see.
And when you get too hot, it says, shut it down, Bassett.
She's on fire.
And then they'd work, and then finally get it going. But that was before my time.
Of course, that's all silent, you know.
Uh-huh. Diamond from the Sky was another serial.
I don't remember anything else.
You don't
saw.
Remember the...
No. I don't think I looked at much. I talked most of the time. I table hopped.
Oh, there'd be a hand come out on the telephone and take the telephone, you know, voice on the wire.
Oh, I see. A mystery.
Used to, I don't know whether anybody's mentioned this or not, we had the two main churches, just the Methodist and the Baptist. And the Methodist would have church one Sunday and the Baptist the next. And I thought that was always, and I think it made a good relationship, you know. And things like that. But we wouldn't change anything in it.
The reason Jim left the store, Angelina County needed its quota for the service, in 44, mm-hmm. and he had to go. He was getting pretty old then, but they took him. And of all things, they took him in the Marine Corps. And, but he
survived
for Angelina
Texas
County
City.
Because of...
I have down here, talking about the church again, let's go back and talk about that. It says that you remembered playing in the first Methodist church that they started building in 1914.
Well, yes, in that mm-hmm. lodge, in the lodge.
But that was okay. before they built.
She was
talking about
built
playing around while they were building it.
Yeah.
Walking on the rafters.
No, we went there. We were little. I was seven and... Wasn't it 14 or what?
Well,
when, the
church,
when the church was
yeah.
built.
Uh-huh.
Well, I would have been 7 years old, and we'd go
and
play
five.
On the rafters. You know how mm-hmm. children love to play with the building on, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. We're going to have us a new church. Mm-hmm. Pretty good, actually.
Was that when the first time they'd split then? They weren't meeting in the same building?
No.
Or had they already had another?
You mean...
No, yeah, for a long time they were meeting in the same building as the Baptist. Was this the first church that they weren't?
First
then?
1914.
Church we ever had.
Uh-huh.
Methodist church.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the first one.
Right, and it's down where
that's
we still
where it is now.
Methodist.
Only it was they bricked it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think really what they did, they built a new church and they used the educational room, the old church as part of that. Uh huh.
Right. And then we live next to it.
We live right on the corner.
They've torn our house down now.
Mm-hmm.
After we married, you know, when I went to college and came back, but my family had moved down to the church, and later on, it's torn down now, the Strauss house,
mm-hmm.
O'Hara house.
I don't know where they've torn. See, Bernice Hines lived in there last. I don't know. I haven't been down that way.
Okay, there's something else I wanted to ask you. Mr. Fuller, it said you knew something about a fund, a welfare fund that.
Yes, we had. We called it an emergency fund, and I was on the committee to disperse these funds. And everybody paid 50 cents a month, or if you're married, maybe a dollar a month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we did help people that were in need.
Was this a new thing, or was this always had always been going on?
It was new.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when it was organized,
We never did have a lot of money, but it did help some people.
Was it a voluntary contribution,
yes.
Or was it?
Yeah, it was volunteer.
Uh-huh. Who started it? Whose idea was it?
I really couldn't
tell you. I imagine.
It could have been Hemp Barley. I just don't know.
No. Mm-hmm.
What year are we talking about? Do you remember at all when it was organized?
Well, I have a feeling it might have been pretty soon after the Depression, because that's when you... But still, it wasn't just for poor people, you know. It was anybody that had an emergency that didn't have money on hand right then. You know, it was to help just anybody that had an emergency.
I remember one fellow came to me one time, and I tried to get around it some way. I didn't, you know, we had used different methods sometimes. He said, "I know you on that mini." I said, "I want you to help me."
Who else was on it with you? Do you remember anyone else?
I really don't. I don't know who's on there.
You don't remember anyone who applied?
Well, yeah, but
I wouldn't call that. No,
yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Let's don't do that. Okay. Well, did your dad? You said he became a Methodist minister later. Did he ever preach here at our church?
Well, he came back, had held meetings here, but his last appointment was St. Augustine.
Okay.
But he died in 1921.
Died in 1921.
So he never was pastor here?
No.
Okay. Oh, it's got down here that y'all ran the Antlers Hotel. I want to hear some about that.
We didn't have very long. The people that lived here had built up a reputation. It was really a show place. They had all kind of Indian blankets and things like that. And Mr. Temple let me try my hand at operating the cafe. But all the help I could get, and I wasn't there to oversee it. I was still holding a job at the commissary. And the help I could get, they just took it away. You know, fast as I could bring it in, they'd take it away. Yeah. And I couldn't make it go. It's a full-time job.
Yeah. Tell me something about the Antlers. When was it built and all?
I don't know. I just don't know.
It was sometime in the early 30s. It was
early 30s?
Oh, maybe, yeah. Because I know when...
What were their names?
Kemak. C-A-M-M-A-C-K.
It was, I married in 34, and I don't believe it was here then. See, it was after that, but after I came back, it was here, and I came back in 37, so it was probably between 34 and 37, somewhere in there.
Okay. Sounds like there were just lots of boarding houses in town.
They were, because a lot of people
couldn't get houses.
Couldn't
company
get
houses. Owned all the houses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And your rent included your doctor's bill and your light bill and your water bill at first.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't pay anything extra. Of course, later on, when they had to buy some electricity.
Yeah, well, after the company quit making it, it had to pay for it.
And water, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there just weren't a lot of homes. And then... you know, we used to have a lot of salesmen come through here, and they spent the night.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling men, we called them, didn't we?
But we did.
Drummers, traveling men, salesmen.
All we had was the hotel over there and the beanery.
Well, we had Miss Williams Hotel and Miss Estes Hotel.
Call that the beanery where Miss Williams was. But there were not many places to stay, because we kept some teachers one time.
Mm-hmm.
A girl came to me and begged us to take, because there wasn't any place for the teachers to stay in. So we started keeping a number of them in our homes.
What, would you charge them board?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. About $30 a month. Fed them, and some of them would give them bed and everything. We had two girls stay with us. We charged them $30 a month.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
That was a lot.
That was a room and board.
Well, that was almost half their salary, but that was...
Yeah, that's right.
That's room and
right
board,
there.
So...
Everything was in proportion.
Yeah.
In relation.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised to hear you mention the KKK. I've never heard anyone else mention it.
I'm telling you, man, he was Tarred
and Feathered.
Here?
Yes. Down around
in
Park. He
lived
down around in Park. Yes, sir.
What had he done?
He was trifling on his wife. They wouldn't have enough tar and feathers now, would they? They couldn't make that many chickens couldn't produce that many feathers. But that was exact. But they would march down here. And that, I remember one time I may have been coming from your house or Eunice's. And it was just, and I was coming across that little bridge. And I looked up and I saw that flaming cross coming down this
track.
And scared, it scared me to death. And I ran home. I wasn't too far. And then that's when Chester, when he saw it. And he ran and got under the bed in his house, and I was just got as close to Mom. But that was, I believe, the most horrifying experience I had here.
Were these people from Lufkin? They were from Lufkin, and they would come down.
Coming down here to scare us to do
take over. Though.
Take over.
Was this person you were talking about, Tar and Feathers, was he white or black?
White.
White.
He was a white.
He was.
Well, I've never even heard of that before. Well,
he
was. I thought it
was
strictly
against white.
No, but that was the only one I remember. Uh-huh. But, of course, they marched through the colored section. They
scared them
up. But they didn't scare them any more than scared me, I'll tell you that. And I know one thing, their policy was every other house they'd leave a
cross.
And so they happened to leave one in the corner of our yard. And so, about 2 weeks after it had been left there, Chester was cleaning the yard, you know, and my mother told him, said, now, Chester, I've told you twice to move that cross. And he said, Miss Fanny, he says, I've done everything you ever told me to do, but I ain't going to touch that cross. So, really, it was a horror. I'll just never forget it. And they did that ever so often. I think after the first time, and my mother explained, I don't think it was, but I was just by myself, and mm-hmm. and all these men in those white sheets, and it was just a long line. See, they came down on this train track, and then they got off, and they marched down there. They would march up here and leave all these signs, and one over here. It was...
Was this very often they do this, or just...
I don't think too often, no. And really, that's the only time I remember that I can absolutely remember it, because I think after that, it didn't shock me so.
Mm-hmm. So we're
but they marched in Lufkin, too. It wasn't just here. They did it in Lufkin, too.
Oh, well, I'm sure if they
were
they were from up there. Was that about the 1920s or so?
Yes, I imagine. Because I'd say I was about 7 or 8. And I was born in 1909, so I imagine it was about like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me some about the commissary now that your dad ran.
Well, he came here pretty soon after it, and they also he was the postmaster, too, because they had the post office there in the store. And he...
Sure, she can get you, Mike.
And he had the store, and... everybody kind of gathered there, you know. In the mornings, they'd come down and buy the groceries, and then they'd gather there and visit over with Miss Farrington. She had the women's side, and Jim had the other. And then I know, like Jim said, that bunch was always full of fun, even before he came, because when I was small, another thing I was scared of was false faces. And when I'd come in over there, they'd all... I guess they wanted to get rid of me, and they'd all put one on at the same time, and I'd leave in a hurry. But you got excellent food, and the meat market was one of the best.
Yes.
People from Lufkin came down here to buy steaks and things of that nature. And a lot of the meat, Mr. Taylor Powell out here from town, he raised them, a lot of it was sent in from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Farrington used to keep this beautiful old handmade Irish lace, and we always laughed about people coming to Lufkin and buying their lace and buying their steaks, you know. And so they really did, but they had the very best of things, and it was the meeting place. And
What did they encourage people to sit around?
Oh yeah, and we had a drugstore, and they had. Cute little tables and chairs. People would love to have them now, you know.
Yeah.
And people would meet down there and drink Cokes. And I know there was one man there that was, he'd hang around there all the time. And my daddy said when he'd go in to get a Coke, he'd ask this man, said, wouldn't you come in and like to have a Coke? He said, no, but I'll take a Cedar pencil.
That was superintendent of the school.
Well, I don't know who it was.
Mr. Purvis.
Purvis.
I want to say, has anybody mentioned an old constable we had named Radcliffe?